You are listening to Always Record from SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. Always Record is a series of long-form roundtable conversations hosted by myself, Alan Evidessa Green, David Plate, also known as MK Ultrasound, and John McGuire, co-host of Pentimental. This is episode 107, recorded January 4th, 2015. How you boys doing?
You know, just doing all right, you know. It's all right.
It's a new year, the year of the goat.
Happy new beer. Happy new tears.
You guys are cheery fuckers.
Hey, I'm not cheery today. I I'd like to be, but kind of tired, kind of, you know, getting over sickness and stuff. But I'm here. I'm available. It might be a slightly, maybe more cynical, than usual. But yeah, let's do this. Let's fucking do this.
I want to hear some cynical David Plate. Let's do it.
Well, I'm usually pretty cynical anyway. Especially cynical today.
No, you're usually pretty cyclical.
Oh, snap.
So it's really funny is I was actually just listening to John's conversation with Bill Klaus from this new Pentimental number 4. And I was listening to that before we came on, but what was really funny is the part that I'm up to is hitting on what I thought I wanted to kind of approach you guys with. There's two different sort of ideas that I want to just throw out there and see what they spur in your mind. The first one is I saw an image on Facebook, which is an idea that I've tried to convey many times, and actually that it was a great image. It showed a cylinder floating, you know, sort of in a room, and on one wall the shadow is a circle, and on another wall the shadow is a square. Can you picture what I'm talking about? If you took a cylinder, shown a light on the long tube side, you're going to get a shadow that makes a square, and if you did on the straight onto the circular end, you're going to get a shadow that's a circle. And it's basically saying, like, you know, these different perspectives, something we talk about. But I immediately, my mind thought about Plato's cave. Now, regardless of the fact that you're still seeing shadows on the wall, and the sort of moral of that story would be that there would be a quote-unquote higher truth beyond that, it's really interesting to me that when you combine those two thoughts, we can't even agree on the fucking shadows.
Right. That's the squaring of the circle, right?
Right, exactly. So, you know, before we can even get to, hey, we're both looking at shadows, we can't even agree on what the shape is.
That's what's kind of, well, I guess it depends on how much you have your heart set on developing a consensus, because it does seem pretty much impossible. And that's probably okay in a lot of ways. At the same time, though, it's frustrating in certain conversations when, you know, certain just misunderstandings crop up. And that's really the barrier, is just like either a difference in language, or again, like science would disown a spiritual analogy or something like that. So someone like Emmanuel Velikovsky, who wrote this book called, I think, Worlds in Collision or something like that. Anyway, he was a cosmologist that basically theorized that there were these like exploding planets and created catastrophes similar to the biblical flood. And there's decent evidence for the flood and whatnot. So he's like, hey, this book is full of a bunch of shit, but there might be some evidence for some of what they're talking about, because flood legends themselves are universal as well. So there's probably something symbolic, but also maybe something legitimate, scientifically legitimate about it. And he explored that, and, you know, that's a shadow in a sense. But at the same time, science crucified him and said, no, you can't do that. So even if there's all these strong connections, or, you know, people are coming from a certain tradition, if you even veer off course or whatever, there's these irreconcilable roadblocks that come up. And so, yeah, it's really hard to bridge between systems of thinking that way.
Or there's polarized thinking, right? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
No, please, David, go ahead.
that's like the crux of the issue that keeps coming up that I see, especially like fucking Facebook, when people are having these like arguments, and I'm like, I don't even understand what people are even arguing, because it's like there's these inherent assumptions. If somebody makes a statement, say they're against, really great example that comes up frequently, even though there's a million examples, is like police brutality. If you say that you want people to be held accountable, police to be held accountable for, you know, harming people in whatever form, you know, it's taken that you don't appreciate the police on any level, or that the police just should, you know, that we could live without police. I'm open mm-hmm. to the possibility of that, but like, it's this assumed kind of like, oh, well, people think they know where someone's coming from. And it's like, no, both things can exist at once. Just because it seems really straightforward, I'm like, this is a very simplistic point, but somehow it tends to, I see it getting missed over and over again in all these different ways, where somebody will make a statement and somebody's already like, even before someone's even finished their thought, they're already reacting to it because they have an assumed kind of take on their position, where like, it's can two things be true at once? Like, it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, that's that's the whole point of Boehm's dialogue, right? He's like trying to transcend that and give some kind of guidance on that. And really, I mean, he didn't invent this form necessarily, not by any stretch. It's indigenous, it's Eastern, it's all these things. So there's a long tradition of it, but it's about, again, like suspending that judgment or suspending reaction, being a reactionary. Because, yeah, you already have like a reaction on deck. It's like you're not even thinking, you're just going through the motions. So right, if like a classic one was, I was home and I was talking to some friends, and they were, you know, they know I have what my perspectives on economics are, and so they were poking fun at me about, oh, you must be a gold person or something like that, or I'm really into like hoarding gold or something. I'm like, I have these perspectives on economics. It doesn't mean I'm some kind of like Alex Jones gold hoarder or something, you know? So just even small stuff like that. They hear one part of my perspective and they create a portrait for themselves about the rest.
Yeah. And
it's just, everyone does it. Everybody.
People have charges on things. It's like the fucking Sandy Hook thing. It's like, I read a Snopes, kind of like, you know, how you go to Snopes and they say, is this true or is this not true? And they're like, it was the biggest fallacies of the year, basically. And one of them was like, oh, that Sandy Hook was a hoax. And then I'm like, huh, well, what's their argument for asserting that it wasn't a hoax? And I'm like reading like these specific things that they're responding to from, I guess, documentaries and things that came out a while ago. You know, I mean, this did happen a long time ago, but it's like they chose like a list of points. But all the things that I've looked at recently and getting into that, you know, and you can thank, you know, Sybil and different people for presenting lots of like contrary to the official story kind of ideas. And like, I didn't see one of the major points for me get communicated. And then it was already, this is what this is. It was like, it was kind of insulting to the intelligence of all the researchers who are making really like strong arguments. You know, I was like, they're not even like going into all, like, it's like you go to Snopes, was 9/11 an inside job? And it's like, no, and here's why, and it lists like 10 reasons, and you're like, dude,
wouldn't you I mean, to me, Snopes in a lot of ways is a variation on like what John was saying, like someone saying, hey, there's this, you know, all these cultures are saying we have this story of a flood. I wasn't fucking there. We can, obviously, we should try and, you know, we could do different tests, look at soil and sediments and things to figure out, can we prove such a thing happened? But you don't automatically, in your mind, make a leap like, all these people were lying all over the world. They just made this up. This was a story.
Right, no. Because it shows specific bullet points to discount.
Right.
There's 1,000 other bullet points that never got mentioned.
Right.
That's like, I don't know. It felt ridiculous to me, but, you know, I doubt I was the only one who felt that way. But it's just weird when there's like this fucking authoritative this is what this is. It's like, I don't know.
So I mean, that's just it. So like we have, I'm kind of glad you brought up the whole Sandy Hook thing, because I'm kind of torn. I want to point it at, like, all right, so you guys know I've been doing these Sync Quick News things.
Oh, and really? What's that?
The character has sort of taken on a sort of personality, right? And it's kind of ultra cynical. My wife says it's very snarky, which wasn't really what I was setting out to do. And there are times where I'm almost hesitant now to do anything kind of serious in that space, like with fear of it being misconstrued. You know, like, right. I made a joke about something with Jake Kotze. I got no response from him. I tagged him, no response. I'm like, okay, maybe he was offended, whatever. But just trying to do something lighthearted. But I also felt like, okay, I don't actually have beef with him, so I felt like saying, hey, just kidding, you know, whatever. It's like, well, I shouldn't have to do that either. Then I wanted to do something that was Mark Passio. This most recent one, I commented on Mark Passio's quote-unquote UFO videos, which I didn't think were particularly interesting or powerful evidence. And I thought a lot of people on his Facebook page were giving really good evidence of saying, look at these other videos of geese and showing how geese actually do fly at that altitude and that they do find these patterns. I mean, I would love to see a fucking, you know, 30 minutes of UFO footage. It's not like I would completely dismiss that. It's just that I don't think that's what these videos were showing.
I like geese too. I wouldn't mind watching 30 minutes of geese.
Exactly.
Circumstances, you know. I watched it, whatever that documentary was. It was interesting, you know.
Morgan Freeman narrating 30 geese. Minutes of geese.
God fucking narrating the geese flight. Yeah.
And now the geese will fly around. So anyway, you know, I wanted to sort of. Even in here, I'm like saying, how do I point out what I think is not critical thinking? So like Mark Passio is someone who advocates the trivium. And I wanted to make a joke that basically like this guy running around with a camera going, oh my God, look at these UFOs, is the person that everyone who's going to shut down our synchronicity, anything we say about synchronicity or whatever, is going to go, read the fucking trivium, man. Use the trivium. But it's okay when you see things floating around the sky to be like, that's a UFO. Now, at the same time, we have the flip side of that. I don't really want to attack him because at the same time, I think there's way too much of, you know, you see the Snopes is the perfect example of people who are like, you're making the other leap. That automatically, there must be a logical explanation for whatever these things are in the sky, rather than the truly skeptical mind, which is, what is that? That right. is the truly skeptical mind to say, what is that? I don't know. Let's see, can we find out what that fucking is? Anyway, so like I have this sort of, I've sort of brought a little bit of awareness to these Sync Quick News is that I don't want to be just like a snarky asshole, but that's kind of what the character has become. Anyway, there was a Sandy Hook thing that I would love to talk about, and I was so was really on the fence, and this gives me an opportunity that I don't have to do it in the show necessarily. There was this school shooting in Pakistan, and so someone found that all the photographs that are being used for this Pakistan school shooting, there's a photo that was used of one of the kids in Sandy Hook. And they show all these different things of, here's Sandy Hook and little Noah from Connecticut. You know, here he's a white kid. And then suddenly, oh, look, the same kid is in all these.
Noah, huh?
Right. Oh, exactly. Right. Found that very interesting. So anyway, fascinating stuff. Now there's this one girl puts up, you know, like a screencast where she's showing all the websites pointing to, you know, here it is on BBC showing this kid's picture. you know, as if he was from Pakistan when it's the same kid that we is supposedly from Sandy Hook. And I thought the whole thing was actually really fucking interesting. Like, I thought this was pretty good evidence of something really wrong here, right? Some inconsistency in the mainstream story. But what I thought that I couldn't help but notice, and this is, well, I'll get to why I think this is another reason why I think this is really important. The girl does a screencast, and in her tabs are open, so you could see like what else she's looking at on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And two of those tabs were like pretty explicitly named porn videos. And another tab happened to be what turns out to be her real name. Basically, within 5 minutes I had of just Googling the things that were written on the tabs, I was able to see what porn she was watching. I was able to find her wedding videos. I was able to find everything about this person. And I thought, for someone who's on the internet posing Illuminati conspiracy videos, you're not paranoid enough if you're... If within 4 minutes I was able to find, I have on one screen the porn you're watching and on one screen your wedding video, and I know everything about you in 4 fucking minutes.
Right.
There's something wrong with that. And I wanted to sort of make the point of like, hey, if you're going to do this kind of work, be careful. Not that, you know, not like the paranoid person who thinks they're out to get me because I exposed the conspiracy. How about just be fucking careful how much personal information you're inadvertently sharing?
Maybe she likes to watch other people's wedding videos and the pornography was actually her.
There you go.
I don't know, you know.
It's quite
saying,
a theory.
You can't assume anything. You know?
No, I can assume because, so it's a, whatever. It's put up on YouTube. If you click on her, on the YouTube account, it brings you to her Google Plus. So now I'm in her Google Plus, and the other things that she shared happens to be a wedding video. And in one of the, and the other tab was the same name. I'm saying there was so much information about this girl so readily available that I actually didn't want to. I went from, I want to make a joke about this to actually, I feel like I don't want to make a victim out of this person, but I would like to raise the point here.
Right, right. I got you. I just know that there's probably a percentage of women that like to masturbate to wedding videos.
Sure.
I know what your hopes and dreams are and how you relate to those.
I've been in those relationships. When are we getting married?
I bet there's men that are doing it too, strangely enough. Maybe one or two.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That ring on that fucking finger. Yeah. So I had to put it out there as well.
Oh, of course. Real quick, like with the Sandy Hook thing, I try to suspend judgment about it. Like, I actually wrote an essay on it a while back just because I hadn't done much with conspiracy in a long time and I just needed some kind of intellectual challenge, I guess. So I tackled that and I come out of it not knowing. I mean, you can't know. It's just, it's really weird. And I don't think it was like, I don't read it as a complete fabrication. Like, something happened. I don't know what happened though. There's
suspicious
just
factors. Major, I mean, suspicious factors.
Like here's one. Who was the guy in the running in the backwoods that was armed and got tackled and was actually in, like, had camo pants on, or even I think he had camo on generally, and after the fact the only way he was identified was as someone coming to two different people. One, they first said it was someone's uncle coming to deliver a cake in full urban camo and guns, I guess. And that was abandoned. And then they said, oh, it was a member of a SWAT member, team member from another, like, county, a neighboring county. And this dude was running away from the scene, like, and then was tackled by other cops. So, A, why would he be running a SWAT member from a it just makes no sense. So this person was dragged off, put in the back of a car, never seen again.
Yeah.
And he told the people, I didn't do it, or something, like something really, like, kind of crazy, like, I didn't do it, or, you know, don't forget me, or something weird. And he was never identified, and that was just forgotten. And I don't know what that means, and maybe it was just this guy. But that's awfully vague and awfully inconsistent, and I don't know what to make of that. So it's right to question these things. It's okay to. You're not like, what are we being, unpatriotic or inconsiderate? I don't get it. Like, now we're worried about being inconsiderate. We're like the most inconsiderate culture on earth. And people want to throw that around as some kind of like put down when it's throwing stones in a glass house kind of thing. So no, I don't feel bad about questioning 9/11. I don't feel bad about questioning this. And I don't make all these conclusions about it, but I also don't say I know the answer to it, because there's just, how could you not have a historical perspective on these things? Governments have done ballsy, insane things against their own people for hundreds, thousands of years. It's nothing new. We're nothing new. People are arrogant and stupid if they think they're any different, or we're any different as a civilization. Like, we've come so far. Why? Because it's all like flashy and behind logos. It's still the same Black Iron Prison, right? Just different garb.
Yep.
It's fucked. But interesting. So it's, for me, it's like that kind of stuff's an intellectual exercise, and I don't know. It's too weird. It's too foggy. I don't even know what to make of, again, like these actors and stuff. It's like, who are these people? Is this really going on? Like, Ellen, your point about the same kid, sometimes that's put up as evidence. I don't know. It's so hard.
I know that it was fucking weird that Connecticut passed a law right before Sandy Hook so that you can't look at the fucking records of people who have died.
Right.
No one ever saw a dead body. There is never they set it up in such a way, even if it wasn't a hoax, they sure set it up in such a way to leave people much room for suspicion, because no one was ever given any evidence that the thing ever even happened. And they tore down the entire school and spent $1 million to rebuild the whole school afterwards. It's just like, I can start listing things, but it's just like 9/11, where if you're going to start listing things, you're just going to go on for fucking 3 days. It just keeps going and going and going, and it doesn't prove anything. All it does is show how suspicious it is. And yet, this is the most obvious thing ever, you know. You're talking about, people have a connotation or whatever, I'm sorry, I'm probably using the wrong terminology there, but people relate to conspiracy theories the word conspiracy. You know, I'm so preaching to the choir as much as I possibly could be, even like our listenership, I'm sure. But like, dude, the official story of 9/11 is the most like disjointed conspiracy theory I can imagine. Like, it's just these guys with a box cutter and it's like this whole, like, it's so elaborate. It's just like these giant connections that are supposed to make sense, and they just don't make sense. Oh, the fucking passport fell from the plane and we recovered it. Like, what the fuck, dude? This is just the most obvious conspiracy theory. It's a flimsier conspiracy theory than the conspiracy theories that are being brought forward by the tin hat wearing conspiracy theorists. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a total conspiracy theory. The official story is a conspiracy theory. So what the fuck?
At the very least, these stories reveal how bad, at base level, just how bad media is. How you can have all this money behind it and all this production value. And yes, it's an arm of advertising, and so there's obvious reasons for it being bad on one level, and it's a chaotic situation. So there's another, you know, it's hard to get all the information, but at the same time, it shows how pathetic it is, where they're putting forward quotes of the Sandy Hook principal who had supposedly been shot. So this person had supposedly just been interviewed, and they were breaking news, principal interviewed, who was dead. Supposedly. It's just shitty stuff like that, where it's like, how can you be messing this up? So just even if, okay, it's the just this convergence of really shitty reporting, I mean, come on, that's enough where people should be looking at it on that level and being like, I disown this completely, and I'm just gonna turn my cable off. But no one does. It's just theater. It's just more theater to distract people from other shit. Because I don't see Sandy Hook. I don't know. The consequences weren't as big to me as something like 9/11. So the motive and stuff, yeah. It's like, it's big, right? But it's not. I mean, gun control and all that shit. I mean, nothing.
Those people became multi-millionaires. Everyone involved, including the police.
Yeah, like, people make money. Sure.
Make a lot of money, dude. And they're still making money. Today, they're still making money. I only, you know, looking at that. This is a really great documentary. We need to talk about Sandy Hook. Incidentally, I had this whole kind of synchronicity breakthrough. It's kind of a little disturbing, but we need to talk about Kevin and Marilyn Manson's most recent album. Not the one he's coming out with, like, this week or whatever, but the last one, Born Villain. Start the album with, you know, the beginning of We Need to Talk About Kevin. It, like, goes into this window, and there's these curtains, and then there's a sound of a fan, which is interesting because it's kind of the same way the album starts, this kind of noise. And there's, like, a thump right when it switches over to everyone throwing fucking tomato juice all over each other, you know? Like, when it switches over, you start that album. It's pretty incredible. I ended up having to watch fucking We Need to Talk About Kevin 6 times to narrow down the timing that did the fucking thing. But I recommend that. It's fucking crazy, and it makes sense, you know, why, you know, it's very applicable, you know, similar to, like, Columbine-type scenario and fingers pointed at Manson's direction and whatnot. And
right.
Yeah, it's pretty far out, you know. It's worth mentioning here, considering we're talking about, you know, what we're talking about. It was something that kept me up 3 nights, so.
that's interesting. I guess just in conclusion, or if we want to keep going, that's cool. It's just like, I don't know what to make of Sandy Hook. That's just, I don't know. It's just weird. And I guess it's just, we do live in kind of a psychedelic reality where certain things are kind of just, I don't know why they happen or how they're happening, but they happen and they just fucking trip people out, trip you out.
Yeah, well, you know, there's you can follow money too. That's the thing, man. That's the thing.
And I mean, obviously, it plays into the obvious avenues of social engineering. I'm not saying there's no consequences to it. I'm saying it didn't seem like a really good gambit or a good return on investment for putting in all that effort. Maybe I'm wrong, but just to make a small cadre of people money, I don't know. I feel like it would have to be a lot bigger than that.
Oh, it's everything. It's medication.
I mean, that's like so self-perpetuating though. I don't know. It's like the guys in the background were like, oh, the pharmaceutical industry needs, I don't know, more boost.
Because the kid wasn't on his medication. That's why this kid who couldn't tie his shoes shot 24 people with a semi-automatic weapon or automatic weapon or whatever, you know?
Right.
It's like, okay. You know, there's that, there's gun control. You know, that's,
I don't buy the,
yeah. You don't buy the gun control?
I don't buy the gun control thing.
I don't like it.
Why not?
For me personally, okay. So, and maybe this is this to me is a conspiracy within a conspiracy. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not discounting the idea of a conspiracy theory about Sandy Hook. Like, I'm with you. There is like a laundry list of really shady shit that's valid. However, if we're talking about a long game, like an end game, what is the plan? I don't buy the gun control issue because if you look particularly in, you know, red states, that's never going to happen. Like there was the governor of, was it Idaho just this week, passed some sort of executive order making sure that there will never be nullifying any future gun restriction, blah, blah, blah. Now, of course, you could argue we already have the Second Amendment does that. But just point is, in red states, that's like a no-brainer, right? You don't come for my guns. But if you look at it would be a sort of political suicide on the local level. Now, you could say, oh, but it's orchestrated from the top. Okay, possibly. But if you follow the money, every time there is any story like this, you see the sale of firearms skyrockets. Okay? Like, all right. you can't advertise cigarettes on TV anymore, right? You can't have a commercial that says, smoke Marlboro. You can't have a commercial on TV that says, buy Remington. You know, like, you can't have those types of commercials. But you sure as fuck can have a commercial in the form of a news segment that says they're going to challenge your gun ownership. This is coming. This is coming. Better stock up now. But it never happens. There, you like, if you follow these, like, John Birch Society types that for 40 years have been saying the government's coming after our guns, and they stock up on a ton of fucking guns.
Our guns.
And I'm no. But let's be clear, though.
I'm just making a joke. Sure. True. I'm talking about the mentality of the people who were, like, afraid that they're gonna take my gun. You know, I mean, that's yeah. You're making a legitimate argument.
What I'm saying is, if, like, as a serious thing to study, to, like, factor in, look at the sale of guns skyrockets every time there is one of these shootings. It's the exact opposite of what we would expect to happen, right? Because, oh, of course, Columbine happens. I'm not going to go run out and buy a gun because now I'm going to be, you know, stereotyped or something. No, the opposite is the case that, you know, Alex Jones will get out there and say, hey, they're going to take your right to a gun away. And this becomes a very common thing. Who will, oh, shit, you know, see, the Democrats want to. And it's true. You will see CNN will say, we really need stricter gun laws. And then all the Republicans will say, oh, my gosh, they're trying to take our guns. You see. And then you go out and buy shit. Now, this, to me, ties into the whole Red Ice faulty conspiracy theory here, is that, what is conspiracy theory 101? Like, go back to basics in your conspiracy theory.
Create problem, offer solution.
Well, there's that, but there's also who runs the show. You know, before you get to, you know, your Jewish bankers or your whatever the fuck, you know, or reptilians, conspiracy theory 101. Military-industrial complex. Right? This is pretty, like, that's like first grade conspiracy theory. Oh, shit, you notice that actually these people, you know, you have Dwight Eisenhower gets on TV, the president says, be careful, this group is trying to bring you into war and all this sort of stuff, right? Who do you think if they're the arms manufacturers, NBC, your propaganda news outlet, happens to be owned by one of the largest arms manufacturers in the country. Do you think NBC is going to get on TV and promote a story in which there are stricter gun laws so that they can't sell you a fucking gun? Or do you think they're going to come on TV and say, act now? You know, it's like, it's simple advertising. Oh my God, you know, get your, the only, you know, 2 days only, buy your mega screen TV, act now before it's too late, you know, quantities are limited, act now. It's that kind of shit. So to say, hey, they're going to take away your right to own a gun unless you get them run out and buy as many as they can right fucking now before they take it away, that's simple advertising. And again, when you consider that the manufacturers of these weapons are the ones who own the news outlets. Again, what makes more sense? That they're trying to sell you a gun, or they're trying to take away their ability to sell it to you?
Right. I guess my thing is that I look at what happened with Russia many years ago, and I look for repeating cycles of things. And that's happened before, where the public's guns were taken away and the only people with guns were law enforcement. And that is in, you know, the history books, is something that's
sure
happened, and we've seen the effects of that. I don't completely rule out at some point. And you look at the you know, ratio. I mean, I don't know. I can see where you're coming from totally. You know, I have an immediate response to that, just because I something hasn't happened yet, I see potential for things in the future. I don't know. I was looking at, like, there's, you know, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, you know, I mean, they got in big trouble, a number of years back for, basically selling weapons to people so that they could follow it to the big cartels, not minding if they, you know, did, you know, 7 or 10 or more jobs before those guns reached their destination so that they could go after the big guys. You know, and a lot of people got in some trouble for that. You know, I mean, that was big news. You know what I'm what was that called? Do you know what I'm talking about? Fast and Furious or whatever. Before the movie,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? No, I know what you're talking about.
That whole deal, and
I don't think it was before the movie. I think it was a reference. Right.
Whatever. I mean, this was quite a while ago, but is this? You know, I mean, I know that there's.
I'm totally with you. And just to give a possible argument against what I'm saying is, yes, at some point when you're selling, if you can sell guns to the government of Latvia, you know, or Libya, you're going to make a fuckload more money than, you know, it's like if at that level, if you can foster wars, you can sell as many guns as you need to, and, you know, jet aircraft and all sorts of stuff. That's definitely a much bigger market than selling rifles at Walmart. But as someone who spent the last year and a half living in what's kind of the South, and you realize that you can go to Walmart and buy guns, like, it's kind of, you know, you kind of realize there is a very different... I just can't imagine. I would have a very hard time believing that they would cut off that source of revenue. To me, the opposite seems to be the case. But
can I interject real quick?
Please, yeah.
And don't we know that so many of these events are multi-layered, and there's vying interests, and there's different groups. I mean, this is not a conspiracy is not monolithic. Anyone that, you know, I feel like the most sophisticated view of conspiracy is different ways of seeing it, but it's not monolithic. It's people with similar motives never have to meet each other to move towards the same goal. You know, they all have the same attractors. So their interests in these events almost intersect in ways that, again, are synchronistic. It's not like they're events. And again, I can tell you they're good, bad, somewhere in between. They're gross. They're weird. But there seems to be that kind of synchronistic element where, again, lots of different groups, yes, conspiracy, yes, but then the intersection of everything is also very interesting, and how that helps create the event itself, because it could be everything at once. So, I love that angle that, yeah, they're actually trying to sell things, because our society since the late 19th, early 20th century, that's what happened when industry took over. Their biggest fear is overproduction, like not selling things. So they're not going to kill a cow, their cash cow, which is a lot of it's guns. But on the other hand, I don't see, you know, David, you're absolutely right. There's historical precedence for taking away guns and what have you. But in this modern day and age, with the budgets for police and the army, they could wipe us out with nothing. I mean, it doesn't matter how many guns we have. You can't dismantle the master's house with the master's tools, right? It's our entire society is built on violence and rape and gun, and whoever's got the biggest guns wins. I mean, we did that to the Indians, right? Our guns were bigger, so we took everything they had. So, I mean, this is like, I'm not interested in fighting back that way. It makes no sense. So I don't really care about, I almost don't even care about that debate. Like, we need them to protect ourselves. Well, maybe. I mean, like, there's a place for them. I realize that people do protect themselves in serious ways, especially like women. It's like, what, 1 in 3 or 4 women gets at least someone tries to sexually assault them. So I get the need or desire for something to protect yourself, because socioeconomics creates all this violence. So I don't know. It's just like, it's complex, but at the same time, I don't think the government really cares how many people have guns, because I don't think they're really afraid of us that way anymore.
And, you know, all the better to let us shoot ourselves. Yeah, right, I mean, and I'm not, for the record, I'm not anti-gun. I'm not, that's not the point I'm trying to make. And,
right,
you know,
me neither.
You know, David, again, your point is, as you say, there is a historical precedent. And it's sort of like, to me, it's almost like the debate between an Orwell or a Huxley dystopia. You know, like some people are saying, they're not going to let us have any guns. And I'm saying, well, what if they say, go ahead and have all the guns as long as we control, you know, you can have a shotgun because we have fucking tanks, you know, knock yourself out, you know.
So I have to admit my ignorance on something. Yeah. I was not aware until just recently that George Orwell was a newsman. I mean, in England, and then you have his whole commentary on Russia and whatnot. I didn't realize that he was being told the news to give to the public, and that 1984 was a reactionary thing for him in regards to media and being not just media, but himself being a puppet of media. And I found it very insightful.
Yeah, there is there's a arm of conspiracy theory that focuses on I'd have to find some sourcing for you, but I had found at some point what I considered pretty reliable sourcing was that towards the end of his writing 1984, he was getting funded by the Rockefeller family, where they were saying he was like running out of money. It was taking him longer than he thought to write it, and they were basically sending him money to keep him going and push him on. And the story, you know, this gets posited as evidence of this is actually a conspiracy. 1984 is not there to enlighten you, but it's actually Orwell was in on it. And I'm, you know, okay, possibly. But as you say, David, in one respect, knowing that his history, it actually seems more reactionary, like he's saying this is writing from experience. And the other part of it is when you find the circumstances he was under writing 1984 and that the Rockefellers step in, what happens is it sounds like he's killing himself to write this book. Like to go into this horrible headspace and to write this book is kind of killing him. And they're saying, here's more money, keep going. And what it actually struck me as is the movie Amadeus, you know, when he's commissioned to write this funeral dirge and it's killing him to write it, and the guy who's trying to kill him keeps saying, look, here's more gold, just don't worry, keep writing, you're doing great. And he's like, it's killing me to write this.
Right.
That, when you look into even the, I don't know, there was some, that's how it struck me. So again, I'm open to all the different interpretations, but that was my honest reaction, is it seemed like he might have been funded and someone might be able to turn around and do something different with it, but or use it to their own end as some sort of reverse psychology. But I didn't really get the impression that he himself was.
So here's another point, and this is like kind of ridiculous in a way, but how many of these writers don't use their names? Like, it's not, I mean, his name wasn't George Orwell. What was his fucking name? I can't remember. Do you know it?
Not off the top of my head, but yeah.
Right. But I just find it funny. Like, it's just, there's a number of writers out there, and there's the idea of, like, you know, somebody has an alter. It's like, they say it's their pen name.
Eric Arthur Blair.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, I don't think it means much, but I think it's an interesting phenomenon. How often, when they have a fine name, I mean, Arthur Blair, that's a good name, you know? I mean, what was the rationale? I mean, I'm sure there's some reason why he changed that name. But, you know, you got, like, Lewis Carroll, you know, obviously Dr. Seuss, you know? People wouldn't say it. They'd be like, oh, that's a children's author. No, but Dr. Seuss, you know, was, I think I've said this before on the show, you know, that he majored in Semitic languages, and you'll find indications of that throughout his book. They're as much adult books as they are children's books because there's admitted subtext, you know, and he encourages people to find the subtext, you know, at the time. You can find quotes from him acknowledging that. And so, you know, I find it really an interesting idea, you know, that people have these kind of like alternate personalities. Like I go by MK Ultrasound, you know, I mean, that's not a name per se, but it's like, it's my, you know, my web persona. But just this idea of people having different alters for different things. It's like when he's a newsman, he is this. When he's writing his novel, he's, you know what I'm saying? Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to take up, like, when I was talking about the Sync Quick News thing, was to say, like, Guillaume wrote me and he said, so I don't know if you saw this week, I changed the backdrop. He was saying, hey, you know, he's like, so I think you. What's up?
It's classy backdrop, yeah.
Oh, thanks. I really liked the first one I made, but he was like, you know, it looks kind of like really lo-fi. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of the point, you know, whatever. But he was like, it was like, that was kind of the look I was going for. Anyway, so he's like, well, you know, I think it could look sharper if you update those sorts of things. And he was saying, honestly, he goes, what I think you should ultimately do is get yourself like a green screen backdrop and it should be you on camera. And I was like, no fucking way. I was like, because I couldn't do that. But using that little character as a mask, I'm able to do something very different.
Oh, I love it. It's
right?
Fine.
I'm able to put on a persona. I'm able to be that character.
Right.
You know, if it was me in front of a camera, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that at all.
And isn't that like a lot of what Magic Ritual is kind of adorning whatever to bring forward, you know, the mythical side of the unconscious and all that. So it's all the same.
Well, what's Freemasonry? Oh, it's basically a costume party, you know. Right. We like to dress up, you know, and play different parts. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so downplayed, but it's like so. it's just it's a trick being played, I guess, on people that don't take consciousness seriously, maybe. But even people in those circles, I think most of them don't get it either.
Yeah. Well, that's misleading. I should say, what is Freemasonry? It's building shit. Secondary to that, it's wearing different, you know, little outfits.
Well, yeah, but I think anyone that knows magic, I mean, costumes and stuff, it's a prop and it helps in certain ways, but it's certainly not necessary, I don't think, in any genuine sense of whatever the word magic means to people, because again, magic is just symbolism. So I guess costumes assist in larger symbolic ritual, but I guess it's all what you're aiming for, maybe.
Right. Well, this is the point, dude. This is the whole fucking deal. It's like we have a show, right? I mean, the show Always Record. It's supposed to be about synchronicity. That's the theme, right? Definition of magic is moving nature in accordance with the will. It means that nature happens on its own if things fall a certain way. The only distinction with the conspiracy is that it's being pushed, it's being directed. It doesn't mean that it's under control. And like that's I think the misleading thing is when people get into like, you know, looking at like magical workings, or if you're looking at how people can direct people's awareness, direct current events and whatnot, it doesn't mean that it's actually in control. It just means that it's pushed this way and it's pushed that way. But it can only be directed so much. It's like fucking, you got like a raging river and you're building little canals off of it, and you're like, okay, the water will go here, but you're not really directing what the water's doing. You're making a path for it, if that makes sense. It's you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
It's a distinction, you know? It's a big distinction. It's why we're still talking about synchronicity, even if we go into the craziest conspiracy realm. It's they're two sides of the same thing.
It's why I have a healthy respect for the Saturnian archetype, not just because I am a, you know, a Capricorn and all that sort of stuff, like, you know, the green man. It's because, like, yeah, there is, you know, people say, oh, Saturn is Satan. It's all everything bad. You know, it's like, to me, that's, there is that, certainly that side of the archetype. But what does it mean, like, astrologically, archetypally? It's the things, the forces of nature you can't control, right? So it's like, there's that Irish, you know, sort of saying, what is it, Lord, help me to, you know, change the things I can and know the difference of the things, like accept the things I can to know the difference between the two. It's like, that's Saturn, right? So there is, in this respect, when we talk about the conspiracy, as you say, there's things you can push, there's things you can certainly attempt to do, and then there are all the things that are outside of your control. And that's, and, you know, if we're under a nefarious conspiracy, those things can be very much to our advantage. If it's, you know, within our own lives, sometimes that can be really hard to swallow.
It's funny, dude, because you said the fucking Alcoholics Anonymous saying, right? Lord, grant me the strength to change the things that I can into what, you know? But, like, that's the other AA.
All right, yeah.
You know? The two AAs. That's really funny. The magic AA and the fucking alcoholic in it, AA. Yeah. All right. This is worth mentioning.
One of the more recent 42 minutes, I don't know if it was the most recent, Mitch Horowitz was on, and he was talking about Alcoholics Anonymous and basically I think his new book's on positive thinking or something, and how that in itself is kind of esoteric or magical, and that it's like kind of, it's spiritual and it's a fixation on a goal, and spiritual attainment in a sense is the same thing, and how that transforms people's goal setting and lives generally speaking. So I don't know if that entered your consciousness, David, but that was on one of their episodes too. Totally. Really recently, so that's funny.
That's awesome. I think I just decided that if you guys are into it, I think a good image for this episode would be a guy in a Guy Fawkes mask holding a fucking bottle of alcohol.
But Alan, whatever you can.
It's Alcoholics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I get it.
Alcohol.
You're on a different level, David.
Totally different. That went over. Even when you said it, it went over my head.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, it's okay. Yeah.
Well, here's okay. So look. So you know, there's when you say on a different level, like this idea of recognizing puns, playfulness, and symbolism. There's one other sort of thing that I'd like to throw at you guys, and it's the idea of how, like, different levels of attention. Now, I mentioned the girl with the Sandy Hook, Pakistan shooting in her, the different tabs that were open, and I want to be very clear. I said, though I really was hesitant to bring it up in any form because I don't want it to be a form of, like, you know, what they call slut shaming or things like that. To me, I'm not trying to make fun of someone for watching porn. You know, we all do it. It's not a thing. It's not like something I want to insult someone over or make an issue out of. Do you get what I mean? Like, I really wanted to make that point, is that I wasn't trying to, you know, make a thing or you know.
Well, just kind of assume that most of our listeners are going from this to porn to, you know, a 9/11 conspiracy video. You know, it's like you got to mix it up to a Paula's dead thing, back to the porn, then on to the, you know.
This is who we are.
It is what it is. You know, it's the situation. But, okay, so we have levels of paying attention. So my point was, if the people watching this video are supposed to pay a certain level of attention that they're noticing as the BBC camera pans across a wall in Pakistan, you know, quote unquote, theoretically, it's actually, you know, it could be a set, it could be whatever, but as it's panning across the wall, hey, look, that photo in the background is actually the same photo as the kid from Sandy Hook, right? So, like, they're paying that level of attention, but they didn't even look at the top of the screen and notice that their web history is, like, for all the world to see. So there, you know, it's like, again, with different levels of paying attention, what are you noticing? And so I applaud them for noticing that photo in a shot of a BBC camera. I think that's amazing that someone would pay attention to that and notice such a thing. Now, I saw another article this week, which was someone put up on Facebook. The name of the article was, "I've seen Back to the Future so many times, and I never noticed this," right? Which, like, this, you know, it's the clear clickbait. But, and I would have probably never clicked on it, except for it's Back to the Future. You know, we've all geeked out on it a number of times. And some woman, whoever I was friends with, wrote, "Oh, wow, I've never noticed this." And someone else commented, like, "Wow, I never noticed that either." And this, so I'm like, oh, okay, these people never noticed this. I click on the article. It is like 5 or 6 photographs. It's pure internet garbage, quote unquote, journalism. And all it is showing When Marty first arrives at the shopping mall, it says Twin Pines Mall. Then as he's driving through, he's at Twin Pines Farm, and then he runs into one of the pine trees, and when he goes back to the future, it's called Lone Pine Mall. Wow, your mind must be blown. You've never noticed that before.
How could you never notice that?
Like, dude,
the first time
listen.
You watch that, it's
this,
like the most
it's not ever. It's not hidden. It's not an Easter egg. It's not a mind-blowing hidden detail. It's like really obvious. When Marty arrives at the mall, he does a double take. He looks at the sign and pauses in front of it. And this article had been shared, which was funny to me that it like so agitated me, and then I saw that it had been shared 33,300 times.
Oh my God.
All right. 33,000 people had their minds blown by this
well,
thing.
You don't know that 33,000 people had their minds blown. You could have 100 people had their minds blown and the rest were just like, oh, I took the time to look at it.
No, that this is how many times it's been shared.
Oh.
People read the article and then clicked share. I have to show this to all my friends.
Oh, God.
Now, granted, let's pretend, let's even give benefit to that. Let's say half of those people were like me who brought it up to say how stupid it is. Maybe they shared it and said, can you believe no one ever noticed this before? I thought it was really obvious. You know, whatever. Let's give it half. Half of them. 15,000. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And to me, this was, all I could hear was Bill Klaus. Like when we first started always record how he would always talk about the idea of like you have too much time on your hands as being the thing, you know, when you say, hey, did you notice if you play this album with this movie that this happens? And then he said people's response would be like, man, you have too much time on your hands. If you're noticing this detail in the background of a Kubrick movie, man, you have too much time on your hands. And there
yeah,
was
you had time enough to watch Miss Congeniality 2 and no one said anything at all. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, well, I guess so the point I'm trying to make here is we have the two extremes, right? And I guess what I'm trying to say is what level we have the people who are saying, you're just paying too much attention. You have too much time in your hands that you can bother to pay that much attention. And then you have the people who like, what movie were you watching? Like, were you watching the movie? I took a bus to New York for Christmas. And I was watching a woman on her laptop watching like a movie, and then she like reduces the screen and she's like scrolling through Facebook and Instagram while watching the movie. And I'm just like, you're not even paying it. Now, it could have been a shitty movie. Maybe it doesn't matter. But my point is like, at the end of it, do you really say you've seen that movie? Like, did you actually give it your...
What's his name? I'm sorry. David Lynch. I love that video. You know what I'm talking about? Where David Lynch talks shit about people watching videos on their iPhones.
I want to say it's Terry Gilliam, but I know exactly the clip you're talking
maybe
about.
It was Terry. I think it was David Lynch, but I could be wrong.
Where you say, if you watched a movie on your iPhone, you didn't actually see the movie?
Yeah, he's just like pissed about it.
Yeah.
He's, fucking watch the movie, you know, and he's a director. He's like, I've gone to this fucking trouble to do the thing, and you're just you didn't watch my movie, you know. You watched on your iPhone, you didn't watch it, you know. And that, why is that? And it's because there's, you know, things in there that are very deep, and they're not always clear. There's the fucking bear that nobody catches, you know. The bear walks straight through the shot. No one saw it because it was on their fucking iPhone.
Oh, you said that other video, the...
Yeah, the phenomenon where like something can majorly be happening, but if your eye is caught from one thing to the other, you don't even see the thing that was there.
Classic misdirection, right? Because the video you're talking about was, I remember we actually did an episode where we talked about this, and it was like, count how many white t-shirts are in this video or something.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't even notice that some guy walks right through the shot in a bear costume.
Right, but you did notice on some level, and that's how NLP works. That's
right.
Why NLP works, is because your brain automatically, if you're looking at it, you've caught it, but you didn't catch it on a conscious level, and so another part of you received it, and then it's there, you know, you got the bear in there. It was funny, I actually showed the end of The Shining playing the end, The Doors, The End with it to somebody recently, and there's the bear going down on the guy. And the person who I showed it to was like, huh, I never noticed that before. They were like, is this a different version? And I was like trying to think. I know that there are different versions of The Shining, but I think they all have the bear in there. But
I
it was
would
like,
think so, yeah.
They were like, I've seen this movie a couple times, but I don't remember this bear. And like, it was, I didn't even say anything, but it was funny because it reminded me of that bear phenomenon. I was like, oh yeah, you never saw the bear, huh? It was like, because you were looking at what?
Now, if you're playing the movie on a telephone, you will never in a trillion years experience the film. You'll think you have experienced it, but you'll be cheated. It's such a sadness that you think you've seen a film on your fucking telephone. Get real.
Nighthawks at the diner, Emma's 49er. There's a rendezvous of strangers around a coffee urn at night. All the gypsy hacks and the insomniacs, now the paper's been read. Now the waitress said, eggs and sausage and a side of toast, coffee and a roll. Hash browns were easy, chili in a bowl with burgers and fries. What kind of pie? It's a graveyard charade, it's a legit masquerade. And it's two for a quarter, dime for a dance. Woolworth rhinestone, diamond earrings, and a sideways glance. Now the register rings. Now the waitress sings. Eggs and sausage, cider toast, coffee and a roll, hash browns over here. In a bowl, burgers and fries, what kind of pie? Offers no direction. It's a cold caffeine in a nicotine cloud. As the touch of your fingers lingers burning in my memory, I pen 86th from your scheme. Now I'm in a melodramatic nocturnal scene. Now I'm a refugee from a disconcerted affair. Now the lead pipe morning falls. Now the waitress calls. Eggs and sausage. Now a side of toast. Coffee and a roll. Hash browns over easy. Chili in a bowl with burgers and fries. Now what kind of pie? Alamo, if you will. Just come in and join the crowd. Had some time to kill. See, I just come in to join the crowd. Had some time to kill. Just come in and join the crowd. 'Cause I had some time to kill.